2019. This is The Better Life. I am your host, Timothy Lawson, along with my better half, Eric Rosenthal. Sir, how are you?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm good. Gamble Palooza was a blast. It lasted less than 48 hours for me, but I had a great time. We'll get into the sort of summary of that soon. Other than Gamble Palooza, I know you have a couple other things to mention, like in the Masters and stuff, but I wanted to maybe start with any gambling you may have done outside of Gamble Palooza since we last recorded, which was almost a week and a half ago.
Well, there were sports bets. So I guess maybe we should start with the Mississippi Rob thing, because that's really a big part of this.
Yeah. Okay. Well, yeah, let's go ahead. Let's start there. Mississippi Rob, friend and prior guest of the show. Tell us about, he had a big win. Tell us about it.
All right. So Mark Meltzer, at Melts Vegas had, tweeted, also a former guest of the show and a friend, had tweeted that one of the online sports books in New Jersey had a promotion where they were offering 100-1 odds on Tiger to win the Masters. And now, before the event started, I think 14-1 to 17-1 was probably what was out there. So 100-1 was like a really strong promotion. So Rob tagged me in it, and he really didn't ask. He was just kind of alerting me to it. But I don't bet on golf. It's not something that I can handicap. It's not something that I know enough about. I've never placed a wager on golf in my life. So I sent Rob a message and I said, hey, listen, you know, if you want it, you know, I'll book it for you. It's not a problem. So, you know, he like jumped at it. He was like, where can I, you know, how quickly can I PayPal you the $10? So I put in action $10 for Rob at 100-1. And I'm trying to think of how to word this. I have access to more than one account, I guess. So after placing the bet for Rob, I thought I'd feel like a real J.O. if I didn't have any action on it at 100-1. So for 10 bucks, I took a flyer too.
Okay.
Okay. So I didn't watch the Masters. I don't really know much about golf, to be totally frank. But Tiger pulled it out. So Rob hit for a grand. I hit for a grand, and then Rob was gracious enough to throw me back another 200 for placing the bet for him.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
He's a nice guy.
He is a nice guy.
I know that I can only imagine with how much of a Tiger fan that he is, that the bet maybe even been second on the list of things that were exciting that day as Tiger won. Because I know he was really stoked to sit there with his son and watch Tiger win another Masters. The only non-betting thing I'll mention about the Masters, because I think it's cool for all of it. The coolest part about the whole thing about Tiger winning is that his kids never got to see him be Tiger Woods. So right. For them to get an opportunity to see him be good, I mean, to see him perform at that level at Augusta and take home another master in front of and while they got the watch, I thought that to me that was the coolest part of the whole story. I had some action on the Masters. I think I had a couple, I had head to heads each day. I think I ended up losing in total. I think I split, 3 days in a row, and then I lost, on the last day. The only bet they had going into the Masters was, Ricky Fowler over John Rahm head to head. They ended up tying, so I did, that was a push. So overall, the Masters, as much as I loved watching it and following it, betting wise, kind of So that's on a spectrum of grunts. So I hope you understand. I hope you can reference that on the spectrum of grunts to know how I felt.
I'm familiar with the spectrum of grunts. I just usually apply it differently.
Right. Right. Well, we all got it. We all got the reasons and the times we put up the grunts, right?
Got it. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. When I got back, I ran to MGM National Harbor. They have a promotion right now, and this is what's interesting about it. Usually they're free play promotions. You go to the kiosk, right, and you play some mystery game or whatever it may be. This promotion, and it's for maybe 10 days total in April. They're random dates, like the 4th, 6th, 15th, 21st, 20th. There's a bunch of random dates. But you go straight to the slot machine. I know other casinos do this, but first time I had experiences with MGM National Harbor, you went straight to the machine, put it in, and your free play was loaded right there, actually, like a random amount. I got $30, turned it into $35, so, you know, it was worth the trip, since it's only 10 minutes away from me. But that's the only casino gambling I did outside of, because I was on the trail all last week, Eric. So believe it or not, there are no craps tables in the Pennsylvania wilderness.
I beg to differ. I just need to show you where.
Look, I'm not sure how my wife would respond if she finally caught up with me. And I'm like off in the woods, and like I'm playing like one who's out there playing dice, right? Like, who are these people? Why do we trust them? But I don't know how she'd feel if this like little time away, this little excursion out in the woods, I managed a way to also include gambling on such a. I think she'd be both annoyed and amused.
The casinos were only brought into Pennsylvania. I don't know, maybe 15 years ago, something like that. So there were craps tables in the woods for years and years and years prior.
Yeah, well, there you go.
Mm-hmm.
Did you ever get action down at those?
No, I don't know about craps tables in the woods, Tim. I'm far too bougie for my action to go in the woods.
That's fair. That's fair. All right, let's get to Gamblepalooza. Eric, I emerged from the woods Friday around, I think, 10 or 11. I made it back to, we had two cars. I made it back to my car around noon, headed off for Atlantic City. I show up in Atlantic City. I got 10 days of stank on me. Or not 10, 5 days. I got 5 days of stank on me. My room was not available yet, so I hung out in the sports book. Our friend John Blattman joined me in the sports book. He was the first person that I ended up seeing, and I looked him right in the eye, and I was like, John, I need you to be 100% honest with me. Can you smell me? He said no. I'm still not convinced that he wasn't just being nice, or maybe he was congested. I think that's what it was. He blamed congestion. But I finally got my room, made my way up there. I stayed at Ocean. My goodness, what an amazing property. The rooms were nice. My room looked right down the boardwalk. It's fantastic, Eric.
I'm familiar. It is fantastic. It is by far the nicest base room I've ever seen.
Yeah. Nothing really special to the room other than it was nice and had a great view. It's wonderful. At least the one I had there. It was a fast weekend, and I didn't consume that much alcohol during the whole trip, but the little pockets where I did, I think my increased metabolism processed the alcohol a little quicker than I would have anticipated. So I was buzz to tipsy for a good amount of Gamblepalooza.
Tim, when I came back Saturday night, do you remember Saturday night when I came back?
Yes.
Okay. So you got up and you gave me a hug, and I knew right away you were toasted.
Yeah.
I mean, you were lit, man. So
yeah.
Like,
So Saturday night is when I fell off the spectrum of buzz to tipsy and went straight lit. Mm-hmm. I'm not big on giving like step-by-step trip reports. I'll give some highlights. The What's interesting about this trip, Eric, compared to a handful of other trips that I've taken since launching the show, I don't have any like stories of I don't have side bet shaming stories. I don't have disagreements with the dealers or the floor persons. It was just a nice trip with a lot of good people. The gambling was fun. The gambling was good, more or less for me throughout Saturday night. And after I left Saturday night, from Saturday night to when I left, it was just like every game I got involved in just didn't go well.
I heard a lot of that.
Yeah. That's right. And the next morning when I saw Mark and Dr. Mike and several other people, everybody had said last night and this morning, no good. I did not leave. I left a little down, which was really unfortunate because I thought I was going to walk away with a bit more money in my pocket. But I mean, man, I mean, it is, you know, it's frustrating when you go from game to game to game and nothing's quite clicking. I'm really bad at the chronological order of this. I like that she said that I was pretty lit then.
you were, Tim, pretty lit. It was,
I can't believe, like, I walked away from that Pie Gal session. We'll talk about that. This was Saturday night. And again, I apologize. I'm not doing this in chronological order. Listen to the other shows. You Can Bet on That, Cousin Vito. I'm sure Travel Fanboy might talk about some of this. They may have a more chronological order of things that happened. I'm not going to be able to do that because my memory isn't that great. But Saturday night, we went 5 o'clock was the the sportsbook meetup, and the sportsbook was pretty full, right? It's Saturday evening, Masters is going on, playoffs for NBA, NHL, MLB is also on. It was pretty full. Fortunately, Bethany had just vacated a seat to use the bathroom or something like that when I showed up, and I just took her seat. She didn't make me give it back to her.
You are such a gentleman. Yeah. That is all right. Okay, continue.
Yeah. I sat down and I was posted up for anybody who wanted to come by. A few people came by, said hello. I handed out the sheets that you provided, Eric, with all the bonuses and such that were available at New Jersey online sports books. And I just sat there for maybe an hour and a half, maybe. I watched the end of the Caps game. There was a listener, and I can't remember his name, and I hate this, but there's a listener who made a bet on me for the Caps after when it went to overtime, and it cashed. So, sir, you know who you are. I can see you in my head. I can't see your name anywhere around it, though.
Was that the guy that was sitting at the Pie Gow table to my right?
Yes.
Ian.
Ian. Okay. Thank you. Yes. Ian, thank you. It was very kind of you.
I think it was Ian from Florida, and he was a gentleman. Yes. And it was a pleasure speaking to you at the Pie Gow table. Nice meeting you, sir. And thanks for thinking of us.
Absolutely. So that cash, I cashed a ticket. Everybody had gone to Dolce Mar. And I'll let other, I did not go. So I'll let the other podcast talk about that. And so
nobody went to Dolce Mar.
Right. Well, that's, I know. I'll let them tell that story. And so I was like, what am I going to do? And I wandered over to the Pie Gal table, and it was empty. So I sat down and I put out on Twitter in the Gamble Palooza DM, hey, I'm at an empty Pie Gal table. Within minutes, Adam Bauer shows up. Shortly after, Mark Duvall and someone else showed up. This night's definitely going to be a little hazy, as Eric pointed out that
well, you're drunk. So your line from that evening, I was looking for Vito. I wanted to make sure he had everything he needed for the slot pull the next day, and you were like, oh, I saw Vito, he was a little buckle off, you know what I mean? I'm pretty sure neither of you were feeling any pain, but Yeah. He's a little buckle off, you know what I mean. All right, Tim. Yeah, I know what you mean. Gotcha. 10-4, buddy.
Yeah. right. Yeah. So if you joined me at the Pie Gal table and I don't mention you, no hard feelings. I was pretty drunk. But here's what I loved about that set. I sat at that Pie Gal table, Eric, for 4 hours. I ended up cashing out up $150. And what was great about it, Eric, is so many people cycled through that Pie Gal table that I got to just hang out, talk to people, have fun, be a drunk mess. At least I was setting my hands right. I mean, I won some money, right? So at least I was setting my hands properly. But it was nice. It was really cool to be able to hang out with everybody. Everybody, 4 hours, people were just cycling through. Han came by. Who else did I see? I'm not going to try. Gina came by and played with us for a little bit. I feel bad now. I'm going to miss someone.
Jeff was there when I was there.
Yes, that's right. Mm-hmm. Saw Vito and his wife. Who else came by? I'm not going to remember them all. I do apologize, everybody that came by. But it was fun to be able to sit down, play with everybody at different times. People came and went. It was a lot of fun. It was honestly, it was the most fun I had, I think, on the trip. And one of the coolest gambling sessions I've ever had for that aspect was I just got to sit down, play this game that I love, hang out with people that I truly enjoy, and I walked away a winner.
It's a good thing.
It is a good thing.
It's a good thing. It was swings, right? Like, I think early on it was pretty not so good, and then it got better later on.
Yes, it got pretty good when I got drunk.
Well, I know, like, you went to bed after.
Well, Bogan was there too. I think Bogan had come by as well.
Yes, Bogan was there.
Yeah.
So, like, when I sat down, I think I only lost one hand the whole time I was there. And you went to bed. I mean, there was a lot of pushes. I didn't win like tremendous amounts of money, but there were. I think I won a couple of $100 before you went to bed, and you know, I don't know. Maybe we were at the table together for an hour, if that.
Yeah,
something like that. It was a good run when I showed up. Not taking any credit for it. The cards are the cards, but
right.
Yeah. I heard it was not so great early on.
Yeah. We had a craps. So another highlight, we had a craps game just before. So earlier that day, 12 o'clock was the meetup, the cocktail hour meetup. It was really great to see everybody show up. It was cool to see the group in its entirety, right? Because for the rest of the weekend, everybody is where they are. It was cool for that short amount of time for there to be so many people in this one little area. We tried taking a picture. What's that?
Just a quick thank you to Michael over at TravelZork. He's the one who picked up the tab for everything. I mean, I laid
that's
it
right.
out. That was Michael Traeger who paid for all the drinks. So thank you, Michael, and TravelZork.com.
Yes, thank you, Michael. I enjoyed my beer. All of them. I'm not going to say Michael, but I enjoyed every single beer that was on that tab.
I had a separate tab running just for you. I know how many you had.
Now that I think about it, from that cocktail hour to when I went to bed, my poor liver, man. Oh, man. My poor liver. We're going to talk about health at the casino soon. We'll get to that topic real quick.
Yeah.
But after the cocktail, or we tried to take a picture, and a guy tried shutting it down, right? One of the security guards tried shutting it down. We were taking a picture just in front of like the establishment that the bar was in, right? And so like, there's no gaming in the background. There's no, I don't even think there's even branding in it. I don't know. I don't remember that. But finally, another security guard I think came over and said, "No, it's fine." And so they let us take our picture. We ran off into Valleys, right? And we played some craps, and it was a really slow game. I think while I was there, the craps, the dice did not make it all the way around the table, I don't think, while I was there. And I was talking to I was talking to Mark Duvall, who was standing right next to me while we were doing this. And I was like, how amazing is it that we're all standing here slowly losing money. It wasn't a great session. Like, just the dice were moving kind of slowly, and just with the way the rolls were coming, like, no one was really winning a whole lot. I was on a slow burn. I know Mark was as well. But man, we were having a great time, and we were talking about how amazing it is to be able to hang out, and everybody can just have this a great time playing, even though it's not necessarily going our way. It's not a slaughterhouse, right? You never want that. It's never fun for anybody if, like, you get there and it's just like constant losing. But even in the process of slowly losing money, we were still having a great time, almost to the point of not really being able to notice. Then Vinny from 7Out got the dice, and he had a really nice roll that brought me from down a little bit to up a little bit, so that I left after that. But that craps game was a lot of fun, and a lot of the jokes that were being told, and the fun that we were having. Adam Bauer was at the craps table on the other side of the pit, and so we were like yelling and making fun of him while we were playing. It's hard to explain to people who don't gamble why that's fun, right? And why that's a good time. But there was something about, and it was weird that I noticed it at this point, but there was something about when the 7Out came and the chips are being brought away, and all of us simultaneously taking our chips and placing it back down on the pass line and just moving on. There was something about that movement that made me like feel like it felt like a true like community event. You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, that's what craps is, right? Like, that's the draw. It's a team sport, unless you're a don't better, and then, you know, you're the mascot for the other team.
So right before Vinny rolled, Vito rolled, and it was the only time I played the don't when someone else from when I was with anybody else from the group at the table, and I feel like I jinxed him. Took about three rolls, and the don't was the only one that won. But it was a callback to last year when we were at Gamblepalooza, and I was joking around. I played the don't while he was shooting.
Did you ever settle up on that bet from last year with him?
So here's what happened. So what was it? Friday night. The Friday night we were there, a handful of us went to American Cut. Vito got a beer. I paid for it, and I told him, I was like, I said, I'm gonna get your beer. Does that make us good? And he's like, no, I'm gonna buy you a beer, and then our original bet's still on. And I was like, all right, so this is collateral. The beer I just bought you is collateral on this wager that I owe you. If you buy me a beer, I will then go out and I'll settle it at the sports books or whatever. But until then, we're good. And he was like, oh, all right. And of course, he didn't buy me a beer later. So he agreed. He agreed to that arrangement.
I disagree. I disagree. You made a bet. You lost. You pay the bet. Bottom line.
Yeah, there was no key. So here's the thing. The original bet was for a Keno ticket.
Right. There's Keno in Atlantic City.
I couldn't. Where? I didn't see it.
There's Keno in Atlantic City.
Oh my goodness!
I'll. You know what? So, communicate with Vito. Find out what I don't know what the original terms of the bet were, but I'll be down there in the not so distant future. I will play a Keno ticket for him.
All right, $5 Keno ticket, and then because I'm paying up a year later, a $5 futures bet as well. Was the juice that I stated that I need to pay since it's been an entire year. But all right, well, in that case, Vito, you owe me a beer.
That's between the two of you. I'm not gonna allow my co-host to welch on a bet. We're gonna make this all right, Vito.
And Eric, at the cocktail hour, this tickled me a little bit, Eric. This tickled me, if I can use that terminology here. As we're sitting there, I was sipping on a beer, and in walks Mark and Dr. Mike from You Can Bet On That. And Mark Duvall rocking the Better Life shirt.
That was pretty awesome. Yeah. You know, Mark has gone out of, well, Mark and Dr. Mike, right? As far as you can bet on that is concerned, they've definitely been the biggest supporter of the Better Life. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I don't know if we've ever actually said thank you to them. We should probably publicly say thank you to Mark and Dr. Mike. Your support is fantastic, almost as good as your show. We appreciate you.
Yes, that well said. Dr. Mike had a vintage Vito shirt on. That's vintage now, right? That Vito's on hiatus.
I don't think he's on hiatus yet. I think we get a trip report before the hiatus.
That's right. Yeah, we'll get the trip report then the hiatus. Okay, very well.
So don't bust out the shovel so soon.
But it was very cool to see two guys who are highly regarded in this space walking in wearing shirts supporting other shows.
They're good people, and I'm happy to call them friends.
So Eric, I kind of think as far as like highlights go, I don't have much else to talk about, because like I said, there's no, oh, this happened at the table, or can you believe this, or what are your thoughts on that. The gaming was actually really smooth for me. I didn't have any issues with machines at the tables with other players. I love Atlantic City for their policy on bets for the dealers, right? So, you know, you can put a bet up for the dealer on 6 or 8, and it rounds up when it wins. But yeah, great crews, great dealers, cocktail waitresses were nice. I really enjoyed it. And man, now that I've stayed at Ocean, that's where I want to be when I go to Atlantic City.
Yeah, it's a nice place. I really hope they're going to be able to make it work. There's a lot of, you know, lot of doubts for a place that nice to do that poorly. You know, they recently changed their name. They were Ocean Resort and Casino, and they went through a rebrand, and they are now Ocean Casino and Resort, and came out with a new logo. I can only imagine how much money they spent to switch two words around. But they have, and that is their commitment to being a casino first. So hopefully they make that work.
Yeah, I did a little less diverse gambling this time around, I think. Maybe not. Maybe it was just a game or two off. Last year, I had some horse betting, some keno. I guess that's it for gambling that I hadn't otherwise done. This year didn't have either of those, but had the sports betting. Got to play some 9-6 jacks or better. This was nice. Each day, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, I got $25 in free play each day. Two of the days while I was playing my free play, I got a full house, and so it's, you know, that's a nice little jump in, you know, only getting 5 spins, right? So to get a full house on each of them, that was, it was a nice little, boost to the bankroll that, then on Sunday morning, was given right back to the casino promptly. I would like to do an event in Atlantic City again, Eric. I unfortunately had, we'll talk about this in the health thing. I did not sleep well. And so when I woke up on Sunday morning, my intent going into the weekend was to stay through the Asian gaming session that evening at Hard Rock and then head home. I woke up in the morning and knew right away there was no way I was going to do that. I did not want to be on the road when it got dark out. I was pretty tired. So I ended up leaving around 2 or 3 to come back home. So I was in Atlantic City for less than 48 hours, but still a lot of fun. I would love to do another, you know, overnight or a couple days in Atlantic City with the same community, even if it was informally, because it is cool to have multiple casinos to choose from. It was fun to walk up and down the boardwalk to and from the casinos, and I spent most of my time at Ocean when I wasn't doing the group stuff at other casinos, and I really enjoyed it there. Listen to You Can Bet on That. I think Cousin Vito said that he was going to do a recap this week. And I don't know if any other podcasters will talk about it, but they will be able to touch on more things, especially things that I was not a part of. And their perspectives will definitely be unique to them. So do check out those shows. And of course, I imagine you and Julian are going to talk about on Vegas Confessions.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm sure Jay has a few stories to share as well.
Yeah. Hold on, let me check my text message that you sent me. Even more promotions, and you more is in all caps. So I feel like it, even more promotions. How many more promotions, Eric?
So I had put together the list for those attending Gamble Palooza, and there were a number of people that took me up on it, and there's even more than that were on the list. So we had, let me think, one, and by the way, for all of you who signed up using my referral code, thank you. This was, I think I had about 11 more referrals. Nice. Due to people in town, and I don't solicit it, just people came up to me and said, hey, just send me your code and I'll sign up through you.
Nice.
Yeah, so that was good. There's even more books that are offering free bets and risk-free bets, and three people that were at Gamble Palooza, I'm like spoon feeding them and like showing them exactly what to do. And we're estimating between $3,000 and $4,000 worth of either risk-free bets or free bets, just by funding accounts. So the list that I provided is not complete. They were just the ones that I was aware of at the time of the event, and doing a little bit of digging for some people that were really looking to maximize value, I found three or four more. So, yeah, whether you are in New Jersey or not, you need to be in New Jersey to place the wager, but not to fund the account or take advantage of the promotion.
So that part right there, I think, is important. I'm going to say that slightly differently to make sure that I'm understanding it correctly and that other people are, in case they kind of miss that. What that means is you can open your account and fund it, and if it's a deposit related bonus, you can do all of that while not in New Jersey and still be able to take advantage of that bonus. You just won't be able to use any of it for wagering unless you're in the state of New Jersey.
Right. So what that means is somebody needs to be in the state of New Jersey to place a wager.
Right. Yeah. And a lot of people at Gamble Palooza were asking me, hey, do I have to get my money out before I leave? No. In fact, when I left, I had a right before I left, Phillies were tied with the Marlins 1-1. Phillies were plus 105, I think, on the game. So on my DraftKings app, as I was getting into my car, I made that wager. Fortunately, it cashed, and I initiated my withdrawal when I got home, and it's being processed right now. So you can the transactions, the cashier transactions can occur outside the state of New Jersey. Placing the wager has to be inside the state.
Yep. That's it.
Yep. That's it. Eric, one more time, as the saying goes, pigs get fat, hogs get slaughtered, which means it pays to be greedy, but not too greedy. PropSwap wants you to get fat. Mississippi Rod got a little fat on the 100-1, huh? PropSwap.
I was already fat, but it helped. I'll take the extra 1,000.
PropSwap.com is an online marketplace where you can buy and sell sports betting tickets, whether it's a long shot future, a parlay with one game left, or even a straight bet at halftime. PropSwap lets you post your ticket for sale and lock in your money before the game is over. PropSwap is also a great place to find tickets at a better odds than what's available at the sportsbook. Go to PropSwap.com today or download the PropSwap app. I'm wondering, I didn't see anything on Twitter or anything, but Molinari, is that his name? Molinari? The one of the golfers who was getting sort of bad, not bad. I heard some Masters previews that said that, that were sort of down on him. He had a great run of the Masters, and I was curious. I should have checked, but it made me curious if anybody had taken him before the Masters and tried offloading that ticket on PropSwap midway through to try to and get some money. I'm curious to see if, that occurred. But thank you to Prop Swap for sponsoring the last 10 episodes of The Better Life. Do appreciate appreciate their business and their what's the right word? Their service that they offer to bettors is a unique one, and one that's worth checking out should you be in a situation that we describe in the read, where you have a future or a bet that that you want to try to get a try to get some money in on early. Eric, I posted during Gamblepalooza, and I sometimes post sports bets sometimes, but I told myself during while I was in the state of New Jersey, I was going to post all of the bets that I made in sports. And so I think I did. I think I did that. I think I posted everything that I bet. One of my tweets had nothing but money line, baseball money lines in them. Baseball bets for today: Angels plus 175, Indians minus 115, Jays plus 165, et cetera, et cetera. And one of our listeners, Carl Schlegel, responded, "I can't begin to tell you how much it bothers me that I have no idea what any of this means. How do I get a lesson at Lawson University?" So just real quick, explaining baseball betting. When you see a baseball line, which would be like what I was just sort of saying, the team and then plus or minus a 3-digit number, that is called the money line. And so like Angels plus 175, which cashed, by the way, plus 175 means that if I bet $100, I am going to win. I'm going to profit $175. Whereas I took the Nationals that day as well at minus 118. That means if I have to wager $118 to profit $100. And you will occasionally hear things in baseball betting called like dime lines, the South Point offers dime lines. And what that means is that there's a 10-cent difference between the favorite and the dog. So minus 134 on one side, plus 124 on the other side, minus 105 on one side, minus 105 on the other side. That's what a dime line would be. Sometimes people reference dime lines when they're talking about books that have good lines. And that's what that means. Essentially, there is only 10 cents difference in the money line of the two teams. Other ways you can bet baseball: over under on totals. And that can range anywhere from like 5.5 if you have two aces up against each other, all the way up to 10.5 if you have some strong offenses playing some mediocre pitching. And then you have the run line, which is always the run line's like a spread where the team has to win or cover by a certain amount, but it's always 1.5 runs. It's always 1.5 runs. Whereas like a basketball and football spread, the spread will be different. It'll fluctuate whenever it may be. In baseball, it's always 1.5 runs, and then what changes is the price in which you pay for that bet. So I'm looking at today's bets. The Texas Rangers to win by 1.5 runs is plus 140. So if you were to bet $100 and the Rangers won by 2, you would win $140. Now, if a bunch of money came in on that, the price would move from probably like plus 140 to plus 130 or plus 125, right? The price would move, but the run line itself of minus 1.5 would not change. I think that's it, right? That's the basics on baseball betting.
Yep, that's about it.
Yeah. So, Carl, anybody, let me know if that made sense or if you need me to explain that a little bit more, and I'll be happy to help you out with that. Next week, Eric, for anybody playing the Better Life Bingo at home, my good friend Gil Alexander is going to be joining us next week to recap the show Action on Showtime. The four-part series wrapped up on Sunday. I actually haven't seen the last episode yet. I've seen three. I've not seen the fourth one yet. I've seen chatter about it, but I'm still not familiar with it. But Gil's going to come on and talk to us about some of the nuances in the story. He might be able to give us some background on how the show was developed and produced and his contributions to that. He will talk about his participation in it, and we will talk sort of about the overlying theme of Vegas Dave, touts, frauds, stuff like that, but also the big topics that were in each episode, like relationships and gambling, losing, family, stuff like that. So I'm going to watch it one more time, front to back, take a bunch of notes. And next week, Gail Alexander from VSiN's A Numbers Game will be joining us to discuss that. Did you see episode 4?
I have.
What were your thoughts?
I have feelings. I'll save it for next week.
Okay, very good. We'll talk about that next week. Eric and I will still have our pre and post interview discussion as well. So, in which we'll talk about some other things. So it won't be wall to wall sports, but for Gil's portion, we will be talking about that show on Showtime. Okay, so the past couple episodes, Eric, we were teasing the topic of health, fitness, preferences, and restrictions, diet restrictions even, while at the casino we're on a gambling trip, which would you would presumably be at a casino or staying at a hotel with a casino in it. And I think that it's interesting to talk about because, as we know, especially when you go to Vegas, it's a whole different beast from when you're at home. And I have been trying to be more mindful of maintaining my health preferences through a gambling trip, or at least not doing too much to hinder them. Saturday night's drinking binge, not included. And I was curious what other people thought about this. I got a couple people at Gamblepalooza said that they wanted to contribute, that they were going to go to the website and record the betterlife.us. There's a little tab on the right hand side. You click that, SpeakPipe will open, and then you can record. You only get 90 seconds, but it's plenty of time. And one of the people who said that they were going to submit still hasn't, so I'm actually going to save the audio for next week and for anybody who wants to also contribute. But Eric, I finally wanted to have our discussion this week. I'm just going to go down a few things that I try to do to maintain some health while on a trip. And I'm curious if you have anything that you look to. Something that I have been trying to be much better at when I go to when I go on casino trips is sleeping. Eric, I can't sleep in anymore. Or at least what sleeping in is to me now is not what it was when I was younger. And it doesn't matter if I'm going to bed at 10 or 3, my body's waking up when it's waking up. And usually that's somewhere between 6:30 and 8. If I'm lucky, my body will sleep through 8. And in Vegas, and I'm not as concerned with it because there's so much stimulation that I know that I'll be fine. And at the end of my trip, I don't have to drive or anything. I just have to like get in a plane and let it take me somewhere. But when I went to Atlantic City, I was very mindful of it, and I still did not do a great job of it. And in fact, the night that we were playing Pai Gal, and I realized that I was pretty drunk, I tried ordering a decaf coffee. And the cocktail waitress seemed pretty confident that she could get me a decaf coffee. She shows up 15 minutes later with my coffee, and I see her hesitate as she goes to get my coffee and grabs a cup and puts it down. And she walks away, Eric, and I remember thinking, I don't think this is going to be decaf. Like, I'm not confident that she was confident that she just gave me a decaf coffee. I still tried going to bed at midnight, thinking that, all right, I can get up to the room at like 12:30 and, you know, hopefully get like 7 hours of sleep, 7-8 hours of sleep before morning. And I just laid there and I laid there and I was tossing and turning, and I already had like the stimulation from being in the casino. And then I don't know that there was caffeine in that coffee, but I had a hard time sleeping, so much so that to squeeze out as much time in bed as I could the following morning, because I had to check out of the hotel room, I actually had to cancel my mystery buffet with one of the listeners. That way I could just get an extra hour of sleep. Fortunately, he understood, and we still got to meet the next morning after I finally checked out of my room and got myself together. But
you should hear what he said about you when you weren't around. It was bad.
Well, it was deserved, bad. Really. I mean, to be like, I DM'd this guy at like three in the morning, and look, I'm not DMing most guys at three in the morning.
Like, how'd it go? You up?
Yeah, yo. Yo, you up? I felt so bad. It was one of those that like I typed up, but then like turned my phone off and didn't send it right away. Right. Like I was like, I don't know if I'm ready to send this yet. And then after like another half hour not being asleep, I opened up my phone and I sent it. I knew that I had, and it worked out, because he was going to be, since the Masters was teeing off earlier, he wanted to do the buffet. He wanted to do breakfast a little bit earlier. And that I just went, I would have gotten like 4 hours of sleep. Fortunately, I was able to get close to six, which was just enough to keep me awake for the drive home.
Can I tell you, I hate meeting people for breakfast at a casino. That is, yeah, like, okay, it's kind of what you're talking about, right? And especially in Vegas. In Vegas, I never want to meet people for breakfast because I'm up at 4 a.m.
Yeah,
my body thinks it's 7. So 4 a.m., I'm puttering around the room and like, all right, I'm supposed to meet somebody for breakfast at 9. I don't want to wait 5 hours to eat. Like, yeah. I'm going to hit the strip and I'm going to go grab something. So, you know, on the East Coast, it's not as bad. If I wake up at 7 and we're going to meet at 9, that's, you know, not an issue. But like, body clocks matter, I guess, right? Maybe that's not the right way to explain it. But like, yeah, I'm waking up at 4 in Vegas. There's no way my body is letting me sleep past what it thinks is 7 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
So yeah, when you're DMing people in the middle of the night and you know, propositioning them for cured meat of various types, yeah, it's not what I'm looking to do. So don't invite me to breakfast.
You were trying to get some eggs Benedict or what? I mean, to be fair, the proposition of breakfast came at a decent hour. It was having to turn it down that came in the middle of the night. Drinking is where I know I could. I know people are rolling their eyes like, come on, you're in a casino, the drinks are flowing, it's how you do it. But I know that I'm not doing myself any favors by letting the drinks flow as much as I do when I'm at casinos where drinks are free. Fortunately, I don't have to worry about that in my local casino. So I actually don't drink at all while I'm gambling. Gamblepalooza 1.0. I got pretty drunk on one of the nights, and it was because it was a day of naturally drinking, right? At the table, just ordering cocktails, whatever. And like, I'm eating throughout the day, I'm drinking water, which is why I probably feel fine. But at the end of the day, when you realize, holy smokes, I must have had like 20 drinks throughout the entire day. You know,
I'll bet the over. I don't even have to ask the price. I'll bet the over.
On the average day or on days like Saturday?
Saturday, I would take the over at 30. You were easily more than 30 deep Saturday night.
That's true. Saturday full day, 30 yeah. At 30 and a half, the over probably is minus 120.
I'm taking the over.
I don't know. There's actually a pretty big gap. The only reason I'm hesitating is there's actually a pretty big gap in time between between drinks at one point. There's only only reason why I'm hesitating.
The cocktail waitress comes around at least three times an hour in general. Right now, sometimes there's bad service, whatever. But every
time, I'm not ordering a drink every time though. There were plenty of times where she came back around and I was still finishing the drink prior.
If you are hanging out in the casino on the floor, right? So Saturday you started out with X number of drinks at the meetup.
Yeah.
But just on the floor, let's assume three drinks an hour. And if you're on the floor more than 10 hours, which you were.
Yeah, but I guess what I'm saying is between leaving the craps table at Bally's and sitting down at the Pie Gal table was at least two and a half hours, and I didn't drink at all in that span.
I'm taking the over. I'm going to put somebody next to you with one of those little clickers, and they're just going to, you know, every time you get a drink.
Okay. We'll have to figure out a way to do this to where you can get action on down on it, but I'm not mindful of the fact that you did it. I don't know. We'll have to figure out a way to do that, so that way we can actually get a bet going on this. Because I am curious. On days like Saturday, the next morning when I wake up and I think about the day prior, I'm like, holy shit, I really did just like drink all day. You know, it's like, it's just what I did. I sat down, I played, and you know, it was, you know, cocktail, 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 water, water, cocktail, cocktail, cocktail with a water, right? Because I don't have to, but it's like, yeah, it's just an all full day. And it's, yeah, I was pretty drunk. Anyways, food, I don't really have a... The thing about trying to be healthy at a casino is casinos usually have some pretty good restaurants, right? Especially in Vegas, right? Atlantic City has some good restaurants. I don't apply too much to that. I definitely think about it more going in and out of the casino trip, but not so much while I'm there. I don't have any dietary restrictions that I have to worry about, thankfully. Do you have anything that you have to be conscious of when you're going to restaurants?
I mean, I have preferences, but I don't have like allergic or okay, anything like that.
Sure.
And I'm not exactly counting every calorie or, you know, gram of carbohydrates, so I'm probably right. the wrong person to have this conversation.
But our friend Phil States weighed in on food. He sent an email. He weighed in on drink, food, and exercise. The nice thing about casino resorts is there's plenty of options for food, so it's easy to shop around and find places that fit your diet, especially in Atlantic City or Vegas. Breakfast is easy, as you can go for meats and avoid breads or pancakes or waffles. For other meals, most places have grilled chicken or something simple in the menu. I actually like to check buffets because they usually have some semblance of a salad bar or a few good choices for entrees, as long as the willpower to avoid desserts. So, of course, he's thinking sort of as calorie, eating clean, very possible at casinos when you're mindful of it. Anyone who's met it, this is a Phil, I hope he doesn't mind me reading this verbatim. Anyone who's met me at a casino meetups knows I throw caution to the wind on this one, talking about drinks. I am a beer drinker and tend to think of meetups as a vacation and just enjoy. That's kind of how I approach it as well. I tend to be low carb, but I don't watch this much at casinos. If someone wanted to be low carb with alcohol, they could drink Miller Lite, Michelob Ultra, etc. Bodybuilders and firefighters who watch their body tend to favor vodka. It's interesting. Any alcohol is technically bad, but screw it. I'm on vacation. I'm with you. A Saturday will show. I am with you, Phil. And then exercise, he just points out that, hey, there's gyms. Casinos have gyms. It's important to that if fitness is something you're into, if being able to exercise. I don't need a whole lot of exercise, Eric. When I'm on to feel satisfied, and so usually like when I was in Joliet, I wake up in the morning, I threw on some shorts and a t-shirt, and I went down to like the fitness center. I just did some really basic like weightlifting to sort of wake up the body, get it moving a little bit. I do think about how much I'm like sitting or standing at a table, especially when you know when alcohol is flowing, and so. When I'm in places like Vegas and Atlantic City, I do opt to try to walk places when I can. So when we were in when I was at Ocean, we had to go all the way down to Wild Wild West for the meetup. I walked the boardwalk the whole way because I wanted to get out and stretch my legs. Even Foxwoods was okay on the walking because the casino is so large geographically. so spread out, and so yeah, I walked around plenty. The one thing I didn't like about Foxwoods was there wasn't a whole lot of getting outside, right? Getting some fresh air and enjoying that. And there is it is a nice wake me up a little bit to walk outside, get some sun, get some fresh air, especially in casinos that that allow smoking. So we will we'll briefly revisit this once we've got some audio from people I know that wanted to contribute. Betterlife.us, send voicemail bar tab on the right hand side. Just click that. You'll see it'll pop up. It says send a voice message to the Better Life. Current topic: how do you maintain health needs and preferences during a casino trip? And then next week, Eric will propose the next topic. And we'll start collecting for that. So if anybody has a discussion they'd like to have, I'd be open to suggestions. If you and I don't feel strongly about one already, I'm open to listener suggestions. What was a little disappointing, if you will, or maybe a little sad, is a few people as I was saying goodbye were like, "Hey, I'll see you in May, right?" And then no, no, unfortunately you won't. I will not be at Vegas vacation. The idea of doing a Chicagoland meetup in July is still on the table. There's been no discussion that has gone nowhere, so probably a coin flip chance still of it happening, but I am still thinking about it. And I'm trying to get set back up at work to where I had the flexibility, like I did in my old job, on being able to take Mondays off. And if that were to happen, I do, Eric, hope a few times over the summer I can head up to AC on a Sunday and stay through Monday and enjoy ocean and such. I'm starting to get, while I was gone, even before the trip was completed, I'd been getting more offers from them on free play and stuff like that. So I'm curious to see if any of that improves or changes now that I've given them some play.
They've been really generous. I mean, really generous. So I would be shocked if it doesn't.
Yeah. Eric, we got our first Karma donation.
Oh, yeah? Can
you believe that? Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Who do we have to thank for that?
Our friend Kurt. I don't know how I'll just use the first name there for
Yep. Okay. Well, thank you, Kurt.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you, Kurt. Karma donation for Vegas trip while you are at Gamblepalooza. Well, I hope that your Vegas trip ends a little stronger than our Gamblepalooza trip did. But Gamblepalooza overall was good. The reason I even had money to lose was because it had gone well for most of the time. So I'm not complaining, because I know not every trip can end greatly. I probably could have done a little better job of slowing down my action on Sunday morning as I was playing. But I was only there for 48 hours. It's not stay in your room palooza, Eric. Not stay in your room palooza.
It is not sit in your room palooza. That's exactly right.
Yeah. So I continued playing and c'est la vie. But Kurt, thank you for your karma donation. Thebetterlife.us, there is a karma donation button there. I do appreciate all the support. It helps us do things like keep this podcast going to things like Gamblepalooza, having fun with all of you. Patreon.com is also a place where you can support the show. You can pledge I think as little as $2 to support the show. We put some bonus content on there occasionally as we can. Patreon.com/thebetterlife. Tip your dealers, tip your cocktail waitresses, tip your favorite podcast host. Eric, I think that just about does it. Do you have anything else before we go?
Yeah, our buddy Ed at Scan720 specifically asked for an episode to come out before he leaves for his vacation. So, Ed, I hope you're listening to this on the airplane, and I'm wishing you and your family a great trip.
Absolutely. Enjoy your trip, Ed. Thank you for including the Better Life in your podcast rotation. Thank you, everybody, for taking the time to listen. I know that there are so many options out there for entertainment, and it truly means so much to me that you take the time to listen to Eric and I talk about sports and casinos and not eating healthy, even though the topic was about health. I'm pretty sure the takeaway from that, Eric, is that there's ways to be healthy. Neither of us are doing it, though.
That's fair.
Yeah. That's fair. But the one thing I am trying to get better on that topic is the sleep, because I've realized I just can't sleep in. So I try to be as mindful as I can, be mindful of the time and get to bed at a decent hour. He's E. Rosenthal, 1029 on Twitter. I am at Timothy J. Lawson. The show's handle is at The Better Life. Thanks so much for listening. I'm Tim Lawson. On behalf of Eric Rosenthal, good night and good luck.